Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My job is driving me crazy.
Sorry.
Do you hate your job or does your job hate you?
Sorry. Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
My career crisis.
I never thought about having kids, not properly. I was never one of those women who went gaga over strangers' babies or said things like, my ovaries just went into overdrive. Having kids was something that was so far distant in my future that when 35 rolled around and I'd been with my husband for 8 years, I was just suddenly pregnant and I suddenly had a baby and my life was turned upside down. And it's far from having righted itself. I'm afloat, but living a very different life than I had imagined. This is the bit where I meant to say how much richer and fulfilled I am, but I'm just knackered and a bit bewildered. Welcome to this episode of My Career Crisis. I'm Ruth Barnes, and we're tackling the dilemma that so many working mothers face. You can have it all. Thank you, second wave feminists. We love you and everything you did for us. But my God, is it actually true? Can you do it without killing yourself? Can you do it without bankrupting yourself? Our careers guidance guru, Sue Ahern, joins me. Sue, can we have it all?
Easy answer, no. Well, you know, that's not quite true. You can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. You have to do it in stages, and some of it's going to be crap. And that's it. And one tip, which I regularly recommend to people, is will you stop buying women's magazines? Sorry if you work in one, but I think that really, if you want to feel inadequate, you buy one of those. And they will tell you this lie that you can run your own business, you can be entrepreneurial and not have sick on your jacket. It doesn't work.
I'm still trying to find a sick-coloured jacket, actually. I think that's the answer to many new mothers' crises, or kind of like a hummus-coloured one would probably work. Our guest today is Sandra. Hi, Sandra.
Hello, hi.
Thank you for coming on. You are a solicitor.
Yes.
Recently returned to full-time work, and you have a 14-month-old
I do,
little
yes.
girl.
Yes.
Tell us about your crisis.
Well, it's really coming back after maternity leave. As you say, I've come back full-time, and I'm just struggling to make it all work. I can make the job work if I don't see my daughter really during the week, or I can make home life work if then I drop a few balls at work and, you know, leaving people in the office, everyone's working really, really hard, but I've got to go and then trying to pick up late at night. And it's a constant juggling act. And I just don't know if I can see it working long term. I think it's probably easier at the moment because she's so little. I think it will just get harder. You know, at the minute, she can't say, "Mummy, don't go," or "stay with me." And she seems very happy in nursery, which she's at full time. But I think, you know, what am I going to do when she goes to school? What am I going to do with school holidays? I haven't even fathomed how that can work. Or
were you like me when you had a very set idea of kind of what you were going to be
yeah.
like having this baby, and then right afterwards I'll just yeah. cope and everything will be fine?
Well, I think until you have a baby, you can't even fathom how much it's going to change your life or how you change. And I, in my head, I thought, I'll be back after 6 months. It'll be fine. She'll just go to nursery. That's it. You know, deal done. Just stay at work when I need to get, you know, work more from home a bit. And
like, it's very solicitous
yeah, exactly.
kind of response to having a baby. Like,
yeah.
this is how it will be.
Yeah.
Nursery and everything yeah. will be fine. No
just,
emotion.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't, it's not that I was, I just didn't even think about how I'd feel, I suppose. And I came, I said I'd be off for 6 months, and then it got to the point and I was like, I can't do it yet. I can't go back. So I ended up with, I had 9 months off. I did shared parental leave with my husband. So he then had the balance of the year off, which was fab for that. They had such a fab time. And, you know, that was great. And I'm really pleased we did that. And to be honest, it was a lot easier when he was off looking after her, because I could stay in the office and I wasn't worried about her. And if she was ill, there was no problem. He could take her to the doctor, or he just took care of everything. You know, it's when we've both gone back to work full time. And then you're juggling, and, you know, when she's been ill, you know, and then you sort of look at each other and you think, right, well, what do we do now? She's supposed to go to nursery. That's what happens now. We go to work and she goes to nursery. And then when she can't go, you think, oh. So it's been really tough. And obviously I work in quite a stressful environment, just with the nature of the work. It's a transactional. I work frontline with clients, and things have to happen at certain times. You know, there is no, sorry, I'll deal with that tomorrow, or I'll come back to that after the weekend. It doesn't happen. Like, you have to deal with things. So that sort of adds a layer of stress to everything.
What does your partner do?
He works in health and safety. Okay. So his job is more flexible than mine. He can come and go slightly more. So he's basically responsible for drop-offs and pickups. And if my little girl was ill during the day, it would normally be him going to get her and things. So that does take at least I'm not as frontline as maybe a lot of mothers are with that type of thing.
And then so that makes how me quite are you sad. Feeling about it? Or yeah. I was just going to say, that sounds...
It does make me quite sad, because going to the nursery and things, and I've got friends with babies in the same nursery, and they say to me, well, what do you think about this? Or have you thought, what do you think about that person and this? I think, I don't know. I don't know them. I've dropped her off probably 10 times in the last 4 months. I've picked her up probably 6 times in the last 4 months. Mm. You know, I don't have that. I just don't know.
It's so hard. And it's she's there 5 days a week, yes, with these people, yeah, who are spending, yeah, more time at the moment with your daughter
they
than
do,
you
than
are.
They do, than I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is really tough. I'm pleased that she's very happy there, which seems, you know, well, from what I can tell, you know, what my husband thinks, then she is very happy. And I think one of the things is that I've thought, I don't want to give up work completely. Like, I definitely don't. I wouldn't want to be at home with her 5 days a week. I know that sounds... I don't mean that.
No,
I don't want to come across as a bad mother, but
come.
I wouldn't want to be at home. I don't think that's the easy option.
There are no bad mothers on this podcast because we've all admitted that we're quite happy spending very little time with our kids.
I think that there is no right answer to this. Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and you are in the position where you can stay at home and look after your child and you're happy with that and your child's happy... Fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who works part-time, that's good. This idea that there is some kind of ideal is what I'd like to quash. There isn't. That we muddle through. That's what we, yeah, do. And interestingly, because I'm hearing quite a bit of guilt from what,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, I do feel guilty. I feel that I'm leaving her a lot and that I don't have sort of day-to-day contact. Like, I probably... busy weeks, I don't see her sort of 3 days a week at all. And when on the days I do see her, I might see her for 10 minutes in the morning as we're all running out. Do you know, it's not quality time that I then get to spend with her.
And I can't say that what you feel is wrong, because it's what you feel.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's look at this with a different perspective. It's only actually quite recently that there's been this idea of a woman staying at home. It's a sort of quite middle class thing that started happening in the 40s and 50s. I come from quite a working class family, and my mum had to work all the time. She just had to. And, you know, we've all grown up fairly okay. But it's this idea that there's some kind of idealised view of this. And if that's what you want to do, that's absolutely fine. But it is quite idealised. Personally, like you, and I'm not guilty about this at all, because I've got hindsight to look at now. But I if I'd stayed at home all day with my children, I think I probably would have caused them harm because I would have been so bored. Yeah. Now, I was freelance, so I could sort of work around that. But you've hit on something very interesting. I think it's actually when they're small that I know it's emotionally very upsetting, but actually you wait till they're 12 and 13, they need you more then.
Yeah.
And I've often thought if you could sort of spread out maternity leave and maybe take it when they were teenagers, it would probably be better, especially when they transition into secondary school and stuff like that. She'll stay where she's put now.
Yeah, yeah.
But there will come that day when she says, "Mummy, why can't I stay at home with you?" And just be prepared for it because it will happen. And she might even get upset, but you know what? She'll get over it. Yeah. My kids can't remember anything now. They're grown up. They can't actually remember any of that. On another political level, I really think that companies should be more interested in the whole concept of flexible working. Mm. I have a theory that if family comes first with everybody who works for you, work doesn't have to come second. And in fact, your workforce is happier and more secure because they've got a better balance. Mm. I mean, would you consider working part-time?
Can you work part-time? Yeah, there are a couple of people that do. Because of the type of work I do, as I say, it's transactional, so things have to happen at certain times. So say I didn't work on a Friday, if something came in on a Thursday night, I couldn't say to my clients, right, well, I'll look at that on Monday morning. It can't be. So you'd either have to hand it over to someone else, which wouldn't be unthinkable, but everyone's very busy and very pressurised, and clients don't always like that. You know,
they feel like they're being handed from pillar to post.
So maybe it's to take a step back from front line.
It doesn't have to be a step back. It can be a step sideways.
I haven't seen it work. I think the people that work part-time that I come across and, you know, that I work with, I think that they've... I don't think they're progressing on the career. That my perspective is, you know, and it may be wrong. I don't know. I don't talk to them about it directly. So, you know, I can't. But my perspective, I don't think that they're wanting to progress their careers.
Yeah. But and for you, you're saying you do want to progress
your
career.
I think that's, to be honest, I can't work this hard and not be progressing. I think, what's the point? And I think that's what I'm worried about at the minute, that I'm working this hard, but I'm still not smashing it at work and progressing but I'm not having a great family life either. I think I'm just losing on both instances. And I don't think I'm not willing to work this hard and not be progressing. I just think, what's the point?
And also, you've got a 14-month-old baby. Yeah. Like, that, how you could be working that hard and smashing it, as you say, is beyond me. Well, I was crying a lot when my daughter was 14 months old. I mean, what about job sharing? Is that something that solicitors do, or is it...
I've never come across it. If you could find someone that... You worked a full-time week and you maybe split it in two. I think it would be finding that person. I've never come across it in my line of work. I don't know.
If you're doing any kind of client-facing job, clients expect coverage. If they're paying money, they expect to talk to somebody on a five-day-a-week basis. So job share actually works better in client-facing jobs rather than a job that you can just do discreetly for 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So job share, I think, is a way to go. Just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean to say it can't be. Also, I think if a company, because this is becoming much more fashionable now and companies like to feel they're at the forefront of stuff, do you have an HR department?
We do, yes.
I mean, it might be worth going to them because there might be other women who are thinking of having children and saying, because the key is that the two of you, right at the beginning, I've set up job shares, and right at the beginning, you work out all the things that could go wrong. You don't leave it to chance. Mm. And you also work out, for example, what happens if one of you wants to go back to full time or one of you wants to leave. So you have all those conversations right up front.
Yeah.
HR might be interested in it as a project. So the other alternative is not to do client facing.
Yeah.
Because that way you could do 3 days a week. Now, the trouble is, it's how you envision yourself. And obviously you are ambitious, you want to get on. All of that is good. And it's what you want to do, which is the most important thing. But don't think of it as having, we've said this so many times on the podcast, as this is the way my life must be for now on. Mm. So if you decided to do 3 days a week, It doesn't have to be forever.
No.
It has to be for a period of time.
Yeah.
So I make this decision. I do. You may do 3 days a week and think, oh, my life is now wonderful. Why would I ever go back to doing full-time? But lots of evidence shows that people who work part-time are much happier.
Yeah.
Also, they get a perspective on the job, which is it's a job.
Yeah.
When you're in it and you're in it full-time, you get eaten up with this promotion thing and I've got to be doing this at this stage. I think you should I'd have a conversation with HR about it. I talk to other people who do job shares. There's quite a few websites that will help with this.
I'm just about to jump in with a website. Actually, there's one called furtherandmore.com, which is a job sharing specialist website. And I don't know about you, but I always imagine job shares to be quite low down the ladder because they're easier to do. And that is so wrong.
Yeah.
And just in doing a bit of research for this episode, Further and More looks great. There's a parliamentary officer role on this website going for a job share. You know, they're going for those kind of highly skilled professional roles, and I think you can sign up and put yourself out there and have a look at vacancies and stuff. I mean, it could be that, like Sue said, just because it's never been done in your office, you know, that it's not a thing. It might be, and it's about finding that person that you guys can yin and yang each other and make it work.
And then what you do as you start with a new client, you both go to that first meeting and you say, "We are your lawyers."
Mm. Yeah.
Whatever happens, we will be able to deal with your problems. But it might be me, or it might be this other person.
Because to be honest, my work have been absolutely fantastic. With me coming back, as in themselves, they've let me do, change my hours slightly. And they, work one day from home. So that's all, I did a flexible working application and that was accepted, no problem. And, everyone is very supportive. So it's not as if someone has stood over me saying, you have to stay here till this time. It's not. It's completely self-imposed.
Yes.
But it's what I need to do in order to get the job done. That's what I, my manager is not kind of standing over me wanting me to stay or saying, no, you can't go home yet, you have to do this. I can come and go as I please, but it's what I need to actually do to get the job done doesn't seem to be conducive to, everyone works very long hours. Everyone is in the office till or
because
working from
it.
Home.
It's like if you could be the person dropping your daughter off and picking her up every day, it would make working full time sweet because you'd know, well, I'm going to spend evening, we're going to have dinner together and I can put her to bed.
Yeah.
It's things like that that just make all the difference. And you'd be fine working full time then actually. But it's the fact that you're missing out whole days with her because of this. You did mention in your email about a potential job change. Have you looked into that a bit more?
Well, I'm just thinking, because to be honest, I haven't thought about a job share, so that is something I will need to go away and think about. I really don't think that it's my company that is the issue in my instance. I think I really like the people I work with. I like the clients. I like, the company. I don't think the job is conducive to having time at home that's not snatched bits here and there, or, going sort of a whole day and think, right, well, I'm just going to write off this day and not see her at all. Everyone's working really hard. It's not as if I'm the only one that has to do this. Everyone is completely working so hard. So I kind of feel that almost going to another law firm would actually might be worse, because I don't know the people, I don't have history with them, I haven't proved myself already to them, I don't know the clients, it would just almost
work.
Like out of the frying pan into the fire.
But that's why I think it's a good idea to try and carve a new niche in the existing.
Yeah.
You've used some really interesting words. You've said my company are marvellous, and they do sound really good.
Yeah, they are really, really good.
And, I'm very grateful that they've done that. And yes, you should be, but hang on a minute. They don't make those decisions unless they make business sense.
Yeah.
Right. So how long have you worked for them?
About 5 years.
Right. So they have 5 years investment in you.
Yeah.
You leave, that walks out the door.
Mm.
So, I'm very pleased when companies do these things, but I think we've got to drop the gratitude a bit. Two way, because it changes your relationship with your employer. Aren't I lucky that my employer's not? No, that's a good business decision as far as they're concerned, because they're keeping all that investment they've made in you and all that accumulated wisdom that you've got in your head. Mm. They're keeping that in house. Stupid companies don't value that and let people walk.
Yeah.
With you, they recognise that they've got someone who's very good. So no way do I want you to leave that company because they sound a fantastic company. But if that job isn't what you need at the moment, and I stress the words at the moment because that could change, then let's think a bit more laterally about what other contribution you can make to that company that would also suit you.
You know?
And it might not be the client-facing bit. Now, it might be that you really love the client-facing bit, you see. And this is where I say we can't have everything.
I don't know. Sometimes I do. I think it's the best and the worst bit to some extent. It can be the best, you know, and you get most out of it. And then also it can be one of the most stressful bits, you know, trying to please everyone.
But people will say, you know, oh, if I work 3 days, it means I'm going to have a drop in income. Yeah. But you've got to just work out what your priorities are. You know, this idea that we can have this job, which is really not that taxing, and we can earn a very good salary, and we can work part-time, you know, something's going to have to give. Yeah. And we have to make decisions about our lifestyle, what we want most.
I think the gratitude thing is a big, big thing for women coming back from maternity leave, because I think you just feel so happy to be having adult conversations again. You just feel so delighted that people are taking you seriously when you've just spent a year kind of failing at trying to be a new mum, which is what I was doing. So you just feel you're kind of giddy with that in a way, aren't you? And then this idea that they're kind of doing you all sorts of favours is really not that. You almost have to switch it around in your brain, but also maybe make them an offer. I mean, I feel like sometimes we don't take the, you know, we don't take the power into our hands, and all those things Sue's just detailed, which is why you've got power.
Yeah.
And to actually go to them with an organised plan rather than just like, I just don't know. Yeah. And I just want to see my kid. But it's not that. It's this. This is what's going to work for me now.
Yeah, you don't make an emotional appeal. You make
it's all about them.
But also, I mean, a word here for those people. I mean, it sounds like you've come back, and what I like from what you're saying is, you know, you're not trying to do less work for the money.
No.
You're 100% commitment. And I would put in a plea here for those people, for example, maybe who don't have children, but who have a life. And I think it's really important, certainly as a manager, that I make sure that people are treated equally. I mean, it's great when people with families, for example, go to sports day and, you know, they have flexible working arrangements. But I think sometimes what companies do is they forget other people who are not in that situation, and that can cause a lot of resentment as well. I mean, that's certainly not the case with
you. Well, definitely. But I said, you know, talking to other people about, you know, one day working from home, etc. And I think, you know, it's more and more prevalent, you know, for everyone. And it, as you say, I shouldn't just get to do it because I'm a mother, you know, because I've got a child. Anyone should that just doesn't want to have to commute one day, or because they want to get a dog, or any, just because they decide that that would make their life a bit better.
A lot of IT companies, because they can, because of the nature of the work, have pioneered working from home. But again, this is not an altruistic decision. This is about the fact that you don't have to pay for an office for them. Also, usually when people work at home, even if they work fewer hours, they're more productive. They don't commute. So they get down to it. And they will often, okay, you might go and pick your daughter up from nursery and have some time with her before she goes to bed. You probably then log on again in the evening and do a bit more work. So it's in a company's interest, and I work with companies a lot around this, to, if they make people's life a bit easier, they usually are more productive. It's a no-brainer for me. I don't know why more companies don't think about it.
My career crisis. My career crisis.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We had an email from Nosheen, who has a slightly different situation from you, but I thought the kind of the way her head is at is very interesting. She has a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, took maternity leave for both, has a very supportive job. 3 days a week she works, has supportive family around who help with, you know, nursery runs and all sorts. She just doesn't want to be working. She just actually is over it. And she just, we actually had a chat on the phone and she said, I thought, you know, when I had both my kids that I'd be raring to go, going back to work, and I actually just don't want to be working, but that just goes down like a lead balloon. And also, they can't afford for her not to work. Both her and her partner bring in very specific amounts of money, which they need. So for her, it's about trying to balance all of this, because of the role, the 3-day a week role she works at the moment isn't really 3 days a week as well. She does like the work, but it's not quite that. It involves managing people and clients, a bit like you. You're expected to be. Yeah. Then if an email pops in on a day you're not working, you kind of have to be there. Mm. I mean, my daughter's actually got to a point where she says to me, Mummy, don't look at your phone on days when I'm with her, you know, and the guilt is like a knife in my heart. But I continue to look at my phone, of course, because I have a business to run. You know, it's just one of those things. Yeah. But I think it's an interesting, going back to the topic of this episode, you know, you can't have it all. I think some women also just, when they become a mum, just go, you know what, actually, I don't want to spend time away from you doing that. Yeah. That's a big deal, I think.
And if you can afford it, fine. Yeah. But the key in that email for me is they can't afford for her not to work.
Yeah. No. And actually what I did say to her was, I think a lot of us get very stuck in this tunnel of where you are at now. And I remember what it's like, I mean, you know, when you've got a 14-month-old, you sort of feel like you're in this eternal tunnel of what life is like, and this is it now, and it's not. It changes all the time. Yeah. And you know, there will be a time for Nosheen when her two kids are going to be in school and things will take a very different turn. All those nursery fees are going to go away. They could rethink the budget of the household, and actually maybe she could say, now is when I stop working, now is when I do something for myself, when I set up a business or whatever.
I mean, you can do anything, but what you've got to realise is there are always consequences. Things are not consequence free. So if you decided you'd stay at home, that's absolutely your choice, fair enough, but it would mean that your finances would take a huge hit. And are you prepared to put up with the stress that will cause? Because that's a different kind of stress. Now, and again, going back to Sandra's point, it might be the type of job she's doing for 3 days that needs tweaking. But there's a famous, I don't know, people probably have heard of it before, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Have you ever heard about this? It's a sort of a diagram when you do psychology, and it's sort of like a triangle, and it talks about your needs and the hierarchy of needs. And at the bottom one, the most important thing is food and shelter. Right. So if you've got food and shelter, you can then move on to something else. And at the top of the pyramid is sort of self-actualization. But unless you've got food and shelter sorted out, unless you can pay your mortgage and you're not terrified when a gas bill comes in and you've got shoes for the kids, it's really difficult to get to self-actualization. Yeah. But your point, I think, Ruth, about this is not forever. You know, there'll be a different set of challenges. It's not going to get easier, but it'll just get different. And what I would say is children are small for actually not that long. Even if you think 18 years, you think, oh, my God, that's a long time. No, it's not. It goes by in the blink of an eye. And I have so many friends now whose kids are up and grown and who do not know who they are because they stayed at home to look after their children. For some of them, it's worked beautifully. And they've got a wonderful life and they're happy doing it. A lot of others are thinking, so I'm still someone's mum, but I don't have to look after them anymore. Mm. I'm still someone's wife, but what else am I? You know, we get a satisfaction not just from our kids and not just from our work, our friendships, our hobbies, our political affiliations. All of that feeds into your sense of fulfillment. For a period, you might only have to be able to focus on two or three of those, but it'll only be for a period and then your life will change again. But also, just a word about guilt. Yeah. Oh, God, what use is it?
I know, that's it. It doesn't do it, yeah. It's a useless emotion.
I think the key is to be present wherever you are.
Yeah.
Right? So when I'm at work, I have to be present. I can't think personally about my child. First of all, it's distracting and it's not doing her any good or him any good. So I just focus on what I'm doing. And then when I'm with them, I focus on them.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds a bit glib, but it got me through. You know, it might be a thing to think about.
Yeah, I think definitely, and it's trying when I am with her to try and get away from my phone. And you know, we are very contactable, and you know, I am constantly replying to emails and things. Which is why I was reluctant to go to 4 days, say, because I'd feel that I'd end up working five.
Yes.
You know, I would take calls on that day. I would reply to emails on that day. And I kind of thought, well, there's no point, I may as well just be full time and not have the paper.
Are you doing 4 days now? Can you do 1 day at home?
So I can do 1 day at home now, which I did last week, which was great. For the 3 weeks before that, I didn't do any days at home, and that was self-imposed because I needed to be in the office for various reasons. You know, I just felt I was too busy. And it just, my own way of working, I was like, I just thought I need to be in the office. But no one was standing over me saying, you have to come in today. What's happening?
But that's another interesting question, isn't it? Because I think a lot of these dilemmas are about what we impose on ourselves, not what other people. So, you know, what's the difference where you're working?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's the people, though, you know, to talk about, you know, if there are certain issues on things, to be able to pop into someone's office and say, what do you think about this? It's having the support staff there, you know, if I'm producing documents or things than I need.
But now, when you think of the technology that we've got, there really shouldn't be a problem with you saying, and it might not even have to be the same day every week, but if there was 1 day a week where you didn't make that commute, where you could drop off and pick up, that would make your life a lot easier.
Yes, and that is the ultimate aim, you know, and that's, I have done that on a number of weeks. It's just recently it hasn't been happening every week. And I think I need to be more determined with myself,
yes,
and to do that.
Maybe that's your objective then.
Yeah.
You know, the short-term objective is I'm going to work at home because you've got all that support from work.
Yeah.
I'm going to impose it on myself that I'm going to work 1 day a week. Just the stress of not commuting would help you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And do you have good in-office communication technologies like Zoom and Slack and things like that that make it very easy to contact colleagues if you're not?
I've never heard of Zoom or Slack, to be honest.
Oh, we should talk. I feel like there's a tutorial coming up. No, but they're just like, they're apps and they are so... Do you want to say a few words
about
them?
Well, they're really easy. I mean, you know, I run a business and we don't have an office. So there's about four or five of us now, kind of freelancers floating in and out. And we have days when we are working at home and we just contact each other via Zoom, which is this great, it's a sort of a plug-in for your computer.
Okay.
And it divides your screen into four sort of video cameras and you're all just there with your headphones on having a chat, and you can mute when you're not talking, and you can, you know, everyone has their say, and it's really easy. You can see who's online, and you organise a meeting and you invite people to the meeting, and the meeting's at 1 o'clock, but you're just doing it that way instead of in the office. And also Slack is excellent as well.
Slack real time is very good.
Slack is really good, and you set up a Slack channel for whatever project it is you're working on, so it'll be you plus that person who normally you'd be popping your head into the office, and you're just there and you can see them online, and the message will pop up on their computer. They get a notification as they're working, and it's, you know, here I am. Sandra says, did you see that? Because often it is just you going, what do you make of that then?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And to give up that precious day of working from home when actually you could instigate. I mean, some of these things might be things that office-wide they need to actually think about using some of these to help people who are working that day from home. But it's good. They're all free, and I'm sure there's a pro version they can get for nothing. And actually, it would help everyone, especially people like you.
Especially, you know, just if you're thinking of something on the train, or you know, it doesn't have to be people taking one day a week. Slack is used by lots of people who are in and out of the office, so it's not like they're doing it specially for you. But it's actually a good add-on for people who work. You know, so now is the best time in terms of technology that we've ever had to enable flexible working, which is, again, why I don't understand why companies don't do more of it.
Are law firms quite old school then? Are they still kind of printing
they
out loads
can
of documents?
Be. Yeah, we are supposed to be paperless, but there is a lot of paper flying around. But I think we're moving more and more in the direction of flexible working, you know, sort of hot desk, agile working things. It's going in that direction. I'd say it is reasonably old school.
But you could be at the forefront of this.
Yeah.
This is actually quite a little feather in your cap in terms of pushing new technology and stuff like that. Just introducing it, you know, doing a bit of research, sort of explaining how it works. I'm sure once you start using things like Slack and Zoom, you don't go back.
No. No, they do. They sound really interesting.
Yeah, they are. They're great. They're the kind of thing that you're a bit. I was very slow at Slack, and then when I finally got my head around it, I was like, "This is great! It's on your phone. It's on your computer. Yeah. Everything's linked up. It's really, really good." So maybe that could be, like Sue was saying, don't have a too long term objective right now, because you're still in the tunnel of the very small baby, and just give yourself that day. They've agreed to that day.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Let's make that the objective. Claim that day, because that's just wonderful. And you can be there in the morning and be there for her tea. And it's just such a special.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've got a kind of a fear that the type of job it is, though, I'm just not sure it's going to work long term. So I am now also thinking, you know, could I do something else? Could I have a career change that maybe still working full time or job share or something? But
don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Sure that's the most apposite thing to say, but because you've got expertise, status, you've built up all of this stuff, so if we can work within the parameters you have at the moment, it would be good. But I think the key is it's client facing. If you do a client facing job, it's more difficult not to work full time. So maybe would there be a job within the company that wasn't so client focused?
I don't know is the answer to that question. Right. I don't know. Everyone I work directly with is very client facing.
I'm a great one for giving people solutions, not problems.
Yeah.
So I've identified I have a problem here. What could be the solution for me? Trying to work out all the little wrinkles and then going and making a case.
Yeah.
As Ruth says, if you just go in and say, well, I'm really unhappy, it's another problem for them to solve.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you can talk to confidentially in that you could sort of take into your confidence and say to them what's going on and that you're thinking about, someone who might have expertise across other opportunities?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think not, because I don't think it would be confidential. I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, people speak amongst each other, you know, and I don't think if I took someone into my confidence, that especially someone reasonably senior, that they would feel comfortable not telling partners, you know, their colleagues there.
Yeah. Is there a women's solicitors network?
There is.
Because I'm wondering if you joined that network and said, anybody else out there got this issue?
Yeah.
How have you dealt with it? Because you are a trained lawyer. You don't want to lose that.
No.
You just want to change. And it's probably something you would absolutely want to come back to full time. So I'm just wondering if we could sort of find some legal women's networks that you could tap into.
There definitely are, to be honest. I may even be a member of them. I think the Law Society, there's a women's network, but I've never really engaged with it at all.
I think you need to harness the power of the women's network, because I've done it in the last few years of my career with radio and stuff, and it's wonderful. It's a great place to be, and you'll just hear the same kind of voice, and you'll really be able to connect with them. And it'd be a great place to say, hey, anyone fancy a job share?
Absolutely. You know? That's what I think. But you know, there are women who've been through these problems and have found their own ways to solve them.
Yeah.
I'm a great one for not reinventing the wheel.
No,
if someone else is out there who can give you some advice, that might be really worth investigating.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I completely agree.
So,
to say.
What more is there to say, Sandra? How did that sound? Does that sound okay?
No, it sounds great. Yeah. It sounds great. I think I've got to try and take the emotion out of it, because I think at the minute I'm just sort of, oh, I don't really like what's going on, and I'm feeling a bit out of control with it, you know. And but I think I've got to try and sit down and logically think, right, okay, well, I'm not happy with what's happening now. How do I make the change? And I think I've got to be more proactive, I think, to put, as you say, a business case together. If that's what I want to do, to change my hours or to, you know, change the number of days I'm working or job share or anything, no one's going to hand it to me on a plate and say, this is your miracle answer to all your problems. If you do this, then everything will be fine. I think I've got to...
You're on a hamster wheel at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to give that some headspace.
Yeah.
But as far as the guilt's concerned, really, I mean, she'll be fine.
Yes, she will be.
You'll miss out. But I've always taken the view that my children were the most important. If they were happy, okay, I missed the fact that she took her first steps, but nobody died.
No.
And they grew up and they were happy.
Yeah.
So, but for some women, it's really important that they are there then. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that in any way is wrong. I just think, you know, they grew up and they were happy, and that's the best thing I can say.
Yeah, that's it. And I've got to, I think, stop comparing myself and our family to other families and friends, because
you have to.
We are our own little unit. And as long as we're happy, you know, and we're getting on and we're making it work, then that's what
I've got to
worry
about. Oh, if you think
it's
bad now, wait till she starts going to school.
I know.
And, you know, you're, oh, what secondary school are they going to? And have you put her in for the 11 plus? And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And if you want to feel intimidated and inadequate, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
You and your husband have to make the right decision for your daughter and not listen to anybody else.
No.
It's interesting to hear what people have got to say, but don't feel guilty and take that all on board. You're different.
And when people are talking like that, just smile and look mysterious. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't even engage.
Good
just go.
There. Yeah.
Mm.
Just.
And that's it. And they'll think, God, what secret has she got? Yeah. She's got the answer to it all. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for
having
me. And
sharing your crisis. We'd like to reach out to any bosses out there having a tough time with hiring and firing. Do you want to ask an anonymous question of Sue? Do get in touch with us via @mycareercrisis on Twitter or info@chalkandblade.com. That's how you get in touch. That's how you come on the show. We'd love to hear your crisis. My Career Crisis is a Chalk and Blade and Rosina Sound production. We'll be back with more soon.
My Career Crisis. My Career Crisis.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.